so neat to see all the flowers and how they smell so good, but the only thing is they just last so short. They fade away and decay, and it's all because of sin, but God's going to make all things new, and we're going to a city where the streets are with gold are laid, where the tree of life is blooming, and where the roses never fade.
So grateful that God's eternal life that he's going to give us is going to be forever and will never end. We don't understand that because we're all bound by time, but it's certainly something that we'll grow to understand and learn as we understand our Lord. Turn to John chapter 6, if you would, this morning. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. The passage is huge. John chapter 6, so much is given. And even the narrative around this idea of Jesus being the bread of life is big. I don't even know that it's hardly possible to get it in a single message. To get all that is being said when Jesus said that I am the bread of life. Look at chapter 6 and verse 35. Again, a bigger picture and story about what is taking place. Earlier in chapter 6, we have the amazing miracle of the loaves and the fish and the breaking of that. And I'm sure the people were absolutely amazed at this amazing miracle. Can you imagine? Being close to a lake and being hungry and all of a sudden this man takes some bread and he takes some fish and he divides it up and feeds thousands. We would all be amazed at that, and the people were amazed at this, and they didn't, folks. Let's be fair to these people that were around. They didn't really understand who Jesus was. They didn't understand. He had come claiming things, but they didn't get it yet. And I don't know that we would really be in any different situation. I think that some of us think that, oh, we would have believed from the start. I don't know. I don't know that. It took time for these people to understand. You see, we have a background that they don't have. Yes, they had the prophets. They had some things written, you know, and I don't know all that they had, but they had some things. But we are at a greater advantage because we have the written truth, you know, completed truth in our hands, and we have read it over and over and over, and we understand it. But back then, they didn't have all that. And so, you know, this man comes along. He claims to be Messiah, and he's doing things. He's healing. He's turning water into wine. And now he takes a few morsels of food, and he makes food for thousands. Well, that appealed to the people because they were so excited about what this man could do for them. What he could do for them, how he could feed them, how he could make them whole, how he could... And they were excited about that, and it was very, I don't want to make this sound bad on their part, but very selfish, very self-focused, maybe I should say, about all that he could do for them, and they were thinking about that. So Jesus does this, and then it says that they wanted to get away, and so they sail, and there's a number of things that go on in the passage. The crowds try to follow because they want to see more miracles. They want Jesus to do more things for them. And this is where we find Jesus representing himself as the bread. And we're going to talk about the bread here in just a moment, but let's read the verses just to get the phrases in our minds. John chapter 6 and verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. So he's telling this group of people that are very focused on that Jesus could do things for them. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. They reference him saying that he's the bread of life down below. And then we get to verse 51. And we see again another reference of himself. I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give, it is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Father, would you help us this morning, that you would help us to even just begin to get an understanding of what it meant for you to say that you're the bread of life. God, help us that we would come to you as the bread of life. God, give me the grace and the strength, the ability, the words to be able to simply share with these people and then to make it so practical that they could go home and practice it. Father, would you help? And we are looking for you to do it. Thank you that Jesus is the bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's the question that I want you to think about. Bread. How many of you are bread people? You like bread. I know all of you are not. How many of you like bread? Now, hold on. Put your hands back down, okay? I'm not talking about any health benefits or negatives. I'm not talking about overall decisions. You know, if you are big on the, you know, whatever keto diet or the old Atkins diet, I'm not asking if you think that bread's healthy for you. I'm asking you, do you like to eat bread? If it meant nothing, you know, we all understand that, yeah, you eat a lot of bread and it'll have an effect on your body. But I'm asking you, do you like bread? Okay, now raise your hand. Do you like bread? Okay, many more hands. I know some of you, you're diligent with your diets. You say, no, I don't like bread. Oh, come on, I like bread. I love bread. Okay, now bread. I want you to think of the term bread. Bread. We use bread as food, right? We think of bread. Some people think of bread kind of, bread is a staple in life. Bread is, well, when we think of bread, we're thinking of the bread, the flour, and the whatever ingredients you put into baked bread, and we enjoy it, it tastes. Some of us are very much bread people. Some of you are meat eaters, some of you are vegetable eaters, some of you are whatever kinds, but all of us have are things in life that we desire to eat. Bread is very specific to something that is very satisfying. It's very filling in our lives, and it's very much universal. Everywhere you go, they are taking flour and they're grinding it up and they're doing things with it and they're baking it or some sort of cooking it, and people are eating bread. And so when we think about bread, it's important. And again, I'm not talking about the health benefits or the opposite side. I'm just saying there's overall a bread is something that people like. And a lot of you raised your hand. Some of you could take it or leave it at a meal. Some of you, again, the important thing is the meat. Some of you, the important thing is the vegetables. I never really understood that. That's where I don't identify as a vegetarian, and I don't identify as a vegetable lover. You could ask my parents. Mama, I don't know if you're listening to this today, or will listen to it, but my mom often tunes in afterwards and listens to the recordings. Whatever, but both mom and dad would tell you that I was not a veg. I didn't really hardly like any vegetables except for corn, and all of you know about corn. And so, but vegetables, I remember specifically one day when I was young, fairly young, probably very young, and mom would not let me get up until I ate my peas. And I was in for the long haul. I wouldn't eat those peas, and I refused to eat those peas, and I stayed there for a very, 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 very long time. I love peas to this day, but I did not like them then, and there were many vegetables that I didn't like. But you know, some people do. Some people love vegetables, and that is, if I could throw the term out there this way, that's their bread. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Okay? So when we think of bread, it doesn't mean just that loaf. So it's another name for food. And we could almost make it seem, you know, something that you desire, right? You've heard people say that's their bread and butter. What does that mean? That's what they go for, right? That's their thing. And again, for some of you, everybody's got different tastes of what their bread and butter is, or what their bread is. But bread overall, universally, is something that is, it's food, it's a staple, it's necessary, if I could say, it's sustaining, it's an important part of life, okay, the bread. And so people desire their bread, and bread is very important. Again, food, sustaining, satisfying food, desired, preferred food. And does bread, in that very general and broad sense, do its job? Does bread work? Now again, I'm not talking about the bread itself, I'm talking about food. Does food do its job? It does. It does its work. There's an effect. It gives us the strength. And all you have to do is go without it for a while, and you can tell that you're lacking with that, right? Maybe missing a meal is not that big of a deal for you. Maybe missing two or three is not that big of a deal. But after a little while, it doesn't matter who you are. At some point in time, going without your bread is going to make a difference in your life. You are going to feel differently. You're not going to feel the same strength. You're not going to feel the energy that you have, because bread is important and bread works. Okay? We desire our bread. Now, in this passage, Jesus is speaking, and he says what? What amazing things does he say? He says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. The first thing that I want to look at, 3 points to this message this morning, is who he is. Who he is. He says, I am. I am the bread of life. There isn't any other bread that gives life like he's talking about. So is Jesus talking about flour and water and salt and whatever oil or whatever you put in to make bread? Is Jesus talking about that kind of bread? No, this is not the life that he's talking about. In fact, here, Jesus is saying, he said, I am the key, I am the way to bridging the gap to God, to get life. Without God is what? Death. We know that from the scriptures. Without God, that's eternal death. The only way we could get to God was through the person of Jesus Christ, who brings life. And Jesus here says, I am the bridge to life. I am the bread. I am the way to get to him, and he uses the amazing term bread, something that these people really understood. And for them, it was a sustaining part of their life, bread. They needed their bread to continue on to live. And these people had just gone through a time of hungering and thirsting. You know, they had been out there all day and they were hungry. And Jesus takes morsels of bread and he turns it into enough for them. And that satisfied them. It filled them. They were hungry and now they were filled. And they really liked that. And now Jesus, and they're following him all over the place. In fact, they go and they get in their boats and they travel over to the other side. And then they find that he leaves and he goes to Capernaum up in the northern part of the Sea of Galilee. And they find him. And what are they looking for? Are they looking for the life that we're talking about? The bridge from them to God? You think that's what the bread they were looking for? They weren't. They were looking for that physical bread that they could eat. And with this right on their minds, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Now let me take a time out and tell you that this, I already mentioned and alluded to the fact that this morning I could never really get all of this passage. There's so much that's wrapped up in this. And I don't know if we'll continue on with the bread of life next week or whenever. But I want to just introduce you to what Jesus was meaning when he says, I'm the bread of life. Right here, when these people are looking for more bread, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for bread. Do you have some bread for me? And Jesus says, oh, I have bread for you. I am the bread, but I'm the bread of life. And so we look at this amazing thing. First of all, who he is. He is. And he says, I am. Now, did that title mean anything to these people? What do you think? I do. I think so. There was a connection to their forefathers back in Egypt that were delivered, and Moses. They were very familiar with this title because this was their title that connected them with God. He was the covenant God of them. This is the God that's promised. And here Jesus is really, and the message isn't about this so much, but he's declaring his deity. He says, they were very familiar with the name I am. I am that I am. They knew of that name. And here Jesus steps up and he says, I am. And when they heard that, they thought, I am. I am. Who is he claiming to be? He is claiming to be someone that no one else can be. He is. He is. And so he starts off in a very exclusive term that says, I am. And everybody stops and listens. Who is he saying, I am? I am is very exclusive, as I just mentioned. It means something that I am and no one else is. No one else is able to do this. Nothing else is able to take this spot. No physical bread, no physical water, nothing. Have you ever noticed that you eat an amazing meal and you eventually get hungry again? I've eaten some amazing meals. And do you know what I say when I get done with that meal? I never feel like eating again. You ever felt that way? You know, you eat and you're just like, oh, that was, what did I do to myself? I'm so miserable. I'm so full. I hate food. I don't like it. Just get that out of my sight. I know that some of you, Roger, don't ever get that way. But I get that way sometimes when I eat. I'll eat that food and I just feel like, what is so special about that stuff? But it's amazing that just as God's mercies and faithfulness are new every morning, so is my hunger. And it doesn't matter what I eat the day before. Isn't it amazing that we always get hungry again? We do. And it's just, that's the way it happens. We get hungry again. And here Jesus says, I have something better for you. He says, and these people are listening. He says, I am. And so their eyes are like, you are? And he says, I am the bread of life. And he's going to go on to tell them that a person that eats of him will never hunger or thirst again. Wow. We're going to eat a meal. We could eat something that will never, or that will completely satisfy me for the rest of life. I don't know if that's good or bad, because I enjoy going to that next meal. I enjoy eating those different things. But he says, listen, you will be completely satisfied. I am. I am the bread that does its job, the bread that works. Folks, Jesus Christ, listen, Jesus Christ has the ability to satisfy you. Now, everybody listen, please, because some of you are sitting here this morning and you're in church, you're raised in a very religious or spiritual manner. You come, you know that we're supposed to love Jesus, and yet your life is a little bit flat. And you're saying, oh, I wish I could have more. I wish I could want more. I wish I would desire Jesus like so-and-so. I wish I just really loved him. I wish that I was the kind of person that just broke out in song. I wish that I had that life. You know, that person seems to have a spiritual life. I don't. I show up at church. I sing. I have my devotions. I read my Bible. But I don't. You know what? I'm hungering. I'm thirsting. And I don't see how Jesus says that I'm going to satisfy, and you're a little bit flat. Folks, can I tell you what Jesus is saying here? Is he's saying, listen, I can satisfy your need. I can get it to where you are filled. Filled, controlled, desiring, loving, giving yourself wholly to the things of the Lord. You know, I'm afraid that there are many of you out here this morning that are sitting through this that you say, Pastor, truth be told, I feel that way all the time. I don't have a hungering and a thirsting for God. Oh, I do for bread. I do for milk. I do for chocolate. I do for bacon. I do for candy. I do for meat. I do for whatever your thing is. I do for rest. I do for golf. I do for this. I do for all the things that you live for. We have hunger. We have thirst. We desire things. But many of us would identify and say here this morning, but I just be honest. I feel bad to admit it, but I really don't have much of a desire for God. Not many of us would want to raise our hands for that. You don't have to worry about it. I'm not going to ask you that. But my understanding is, if you would be completely honest, if I would ask you how many of you have a genuine desire for the things of God, in other words, you're hungry, you feel yourself needing God like you need bread. My guess is that there would be many of us that wouldn't raise our hands because we would say, I just don't have it. You want it. My guess is that most of you want it, but you don't have it. Good news. Jesus showed up, shows up and says, you can have it. So that's what we need to discover this morning, is how can we have this? He says, I am the bread of life. Remember, does bread work? Does food work for us? The answer? Yes. It does. It's very temporary, but it works. Jesus, listen everyone, Jesus works. He can satisfy you. I know that you might not believe it right now. I know that you might not be experiencing it, but the fact is that he is. I am. That's where our theme comes in here. I am. He says that he is. You see, folks, we've got to believe it. We've got to step out and believe and depend upon the fact that he can satisfy. He can meet the needs. He can do what you wish that you could have that you don't feel like you can have. So I ask you the question this morning is, are you hungering and thirsting after God? Do you desire God? I'm not asking you, do you have the emotions? Do you desire it? My guess is that most of you would say, yes, Pastor, I do, but I certainly don't feel it. I certainly don't. I don't. If truth be told, I'd have to raise my hand and say, no, I don't feel that way. I just feel like there are other things in my life. Now, the next question that begs for us to ask is, what do you desire? Because he said what? I am. I am the bread of life. You see, most of us don't listen to this. One of the reasons why we don't desire God is because we're filling ourselves with other things. It's hard to be hungry for something good when we're filling ourselves with things that are not so good. Have you noticed that in life? You know, there are things that you, I'm just not hungry for because you filled yourself with other things. One of the amazing things when we have a quizzing rally like yesterday is you know, they serve a meal at, you know, a certain time during the afternoon in between, you know, quizzes, and they serve a meal back there. And my mother-in-law gets a meal together and they serve a meal. But before that, the host church has snacks. And we have things that we do that. And it's amazing how the kids, you know, yesterday the highlight was chocolate-covered gummy bears. And some of you are like, ew. Right. Okay. But you know what? It was a hit. It was a hit. We only bought two bags of those things and they were gone like that, you know. And everyone's eyeing them up over there, and you know, when no one was looking, they went and, you know, grabbed someone, you know, popping them and watch. I watched a little bit what was going on. But anyway, that was a hit over there. But you know, I've often, you know, been amazed at, like, why do we, you know, and the kids, it's amazing. In between every quiz, unless they go, if they get a break, what do they do? Rodney, what does everybody do when they have a break? Where do they go? Snack room, of course, because we have to. There's a snack room and it's open. It's 24/7. Well, it's not 24/7, but it's, hey, we've got 11 until our meal, right? And I've often wondered, like, why are we having a meal or why are we having a snack? You know, because they go, and what do? They fill up on the snacks, and then what do the kids say? I'm full. I don't need to eat this. And so you get, you know, there was baked potatoes with some, you know, chili on some of them. Then there was some pulled pork on the others. They had a choice for that. You know, and you go to the trash can and you see a third, quarter, half, three quarters potatoes and chili and stuff in the trash can. And you're thinking, what did we do this for? Well, what happened? They ate too many chocolate-covered gummy bears. They ate too many of those things. And then they weren't hungry. I know some of the people were still hungry, but we see, understand, a lot of times the reason why we're not hungry for the real food that will satisfy is because we fill up ourselves with other things. Now my question to you is what do you fill yourself up with? The fact of the matter is that many of us do. Many of us fill our lives up with so many things, and it's hard to desire those things that we ought to have. It's hard to desire because we are so excited about the other things. You know, I can think for myself all the time, I just wish I ate healthier. I wish I ate healthier. But if I continue to go and eat the chips and the snacks and the things with all the stuff in them, you know, I never do desire those healthy things. I never will desire those things because I'm filling myself up with those foods. And those foods, and they're made, this is not meant to be a health lesson, but they, do you know that they make foods so that you want to come back and eat them more and more and more? Especially some of the junk stuff, that they're more chemical than food or more ingredient of whatever source. They make them so that we got that hungering for them. And so we want to go back to them over and over and over again. And we wonder why we aren't hungry for those fruits and vegetables or whatever things that might satisfy us more. It's because we are so focused on the things in life that is trained for us to keep coming back over and over and over and over again. And so my question is what in your life? And it doesn't mean it's something that's bad. In fact, it can be a very good thing. But it's what makes you tick in life. It's what drives you. It's what you, every day, what you've got to do, what you've got to run to, what you've got to make sure you can do it. You know, for some of you, it could be news. You just say, I got to get the news today. I've got to see what's going on there. And do you know that even something like that, we can get so trained that we just automatically do it. You know, we pull our phones out, we check those certain things, and it's just becoming a habit. Do you know that stuff becomes food for us? It becomes bread. We need it. And some of us have gotten so much to the point that we cannot go 2 minutes without pulling out our phones and just looking at it to see what we're doing. I remember going to a what do you call it before the funeral? The viewing. I went to a viewing, and there was a long line there, and I was standing in line there, And I thought it was amazing. There was, the line kind of did one of these. It just was a long line going into the church building. And so there was this guy up a ways and around the loop that I just noticed. And he would stand there. He was by himself in a line. He would stand there, and I think he had a jacket on or a coat or something. And he would pull out his phone, and I kind of just watched him because I was by myself also. And he would click it, and he would scroll for a little bit, and his finger would just do this, you know, his thumb would do this, and he'd look around and he'd put it back in his pocket. I think he could last about 15 seconds, and he pulled it out again, and he scrolled. Now maybe he was waiting for a very important phone conversation, you know, maybe he's waiting to see if his offer went through with the house that he was trying to get. And so he's doing that, and then he puts it back in his pocket, you know, and then, you know, he's just standing. He can't go anywhere because he's in line. And 15 seconds later, he pulls his phone out, and he looks through it. And, you know, I was watching him to see if I could tell, and I was probably getting too into his private life. Maybe I shouldn't have been looking so closely, but I was kind of amazed, you know. And best I could tell, it didn't really seem like it just seemed like it was just something to do. And I was really amazed till the end. And obviously it made a big impact because I still remember this was years ago. It might have even been 10 years. It was a long time ago. But the guy couldn't go so long. Can you tell me, what was this guy's bread in this sense? He couldn't stay away from it. He felt like he needed it. He needed that thing to satisfy his needs. Do you realize that we have things in our lives that we have to feel like we go to? Some of us have to, even good things, work, you know, we've got to be doing this, we've got to be doing that. We can never, you know, we just stop and be still and know that I am God. We have to, we go to this, we check our email, we check our text messages, we check our this, we've got to do this, or we have to, you know, some of us have to buy things. I just got to, it's been a while since I bought things. We like the smell of new things. We like the, for some reason, we love the rush, you know, of the dopamine, you know, when we press buy, you know, on Amazon. And we know that it's going to be here in 5 hours. And you know, when we love seeing the Amazon guy come 100 times to our door. I know, this is the life we live today. But do you know that people are, that this is the life that we are. Folks, I know this is funny, but this is real. Do you know what I'm talking about? Many of us good, God-fearing Christians that say we love the Lord, we live our Sabbath. Our bread is our just the schedule that we go through, that we live every day. And God forbid this phone be ever away from me. God forbid if Amazon shut down for a day. God forbid if I couldn't, you know, order DoorDash, or God forbid if I couldn't check the news. What would happen if we couldn't check the news? We'd probably all get healthier because we wouldn't be so stressed out. We fear what our cholesterol numbers are going to be, you know, so we check 10 times a day. I don't know if you can check your cholesterol 10 times a day, but whatever it is for you, you know, you check your blood sugars, you check your this, you do that, and I know that you need to do some of those things, but some of us get so consumed. If I could say it this way, our bread is so many things in life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We go to things, and it's just habitual. We have to do this. And again, for everybody, it's different. It's so different. Some people, it's food. Some people, it's busyness. Some people, it's you know. Some people, it's cleaning. There's some people out there that it's just, you know, a piece of dust falls to the ground and they can see it and they run and catch it before it hits the furniture. And they, you know, they take it and capture it. It's in the garbage can, you know, before every speck of dust. And I know I'm mocking some of you, and I don't know who it is that I'm mocking. But I'm saying this is the way we are. We are driven by bread. And our bread, most of the time, are other things. And Jesus said what? I am. Sometimes Jesus is the last one we go to. He's certainly not our bread and butter. Question, do you love to check out Jesus? Do you love to check in with Jesus every couple minutes like that guy was telling you about? Do you love to just, Lord, it's been 45 seconds and I'm just feeling destitute for you. Now, I know that, you know, that's funny. But do you know that we should learn to love Jesus so much that we desire? And I know some of you are saying, yeah, Pastor Madrid, that sounds great, but tell me how. We're going to get to that here in a few moments. But the question is Jesus your bread and butter? Or do you find that your bread and butter is a lot of other things in life? Good things, maybe bad things, but other things. What are you looking for your bread? Now, the bread of life is key to this passage. But can I tell you, there's another phrase in this verse that I think is that, yes, the bread of life is king here. But this next thing that we're going to look at is so important. What do we do with the bread of life? Now, look at verse 35 again. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth. Two things. He that cometh and he that believeth. What's the answer? Shall never hunger and shall never thirst. I think we need to spend a little bit of time understand what it means to come. Because it says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. So he's the bread. What's my responsibility? What do I do? I've got to come. I've got to come to benefit from the bread. Does food do you any good if you don't come to it? Not really. It will just tempt you. It'll torture you. Have you ever been somewhere where the amazing smells were, but you couldn't eat it? Oh, that's torturous. But it doesn't really do anything for you except tempt you to go get it. Likewise, the bread of life is only good for us as we come to get it. So what does it mean, he that cometh? I took some time this week to really think through, pray through, study through what it means to come. He that cometh. When we come somewhere, what does that mean that we're coming? Obviously, we're at one place and we're going to go to another place. But if I'm going to come to something, there's usually different reasons why I come. The first reason why I might come, now try to think with me here through this. The one reason I might want to come is because this overall, as I weigh everything in life, this is the best option that I want. And so I come. I look around and I count the costs. I think through. It may not be just my desire. Because you realize we don't just go to our desires because there may be things that... I ask you the question, do you like bread? Some of you are very hesitant to raise your question. Why? Because even though you like bread, you like your health more than you like the bread. So even though you like the bread, overall you're going to make a decision not to eat that piece of bread because you don't want to get a bigger belt, okay? Or something like that. And you overall desire. That's what I'm talking about. When we come, it's because, it doesn't mean just because we desire it, desires have to do with it, but we make a decision, overall, I'm going to make this decision and I'm going to decide to come because I say that this is a good option, this is the best. And for those people, that's why we come. We come because this is good for me and this is what I choose. Might have to do with desires, but overall it's trying to use the best wisdom that I have. You realize we ultimately choose what we want, right? We choose what we want to. I know some of you say, boy, I make some choices that I really don't want to. Well, in the moment, you wanted that more than what you than the other thing. Because you chose, you maybe forgot some things. You decided not to look this way or look that way, and you decided, this is what I want right now, and so you made your choice. Do you understand that, what I'm saying? You choose because ultimately this is what you want. It doesn't mean that you desire, I want to do right. But right now, I fell, and I looked at something that I shouldn't look at because because right now I was living in the moment. I was living in my flesh. I was living selfishly, and I chose to look or to do that. And so therefore, I can say, you did what you wanted. No, Pastor, I don't want that. I really want to do right. Right, but then you did what you wanted to do. Okay? You did what you wanted to do. So we come to what we ultimately look as the best. We come to that. That is a way to look at things. It's a desired choice. Weighing all the points, this is what we choose. Another way to look at the word cometh is it's not just a desired choice, it's a delivering choice. In other words, as an alternative to what I know is false, I'm gonna choose what is right. I'm gonna choose what is best. I'm going to choose what is good. We look at this choice as kind of like I've got several pathways that I could go, and I'm going to choose right. So it's a good alternative to the things that are bad, the things that are not right for me. And that's a way in which we choose. We make a choice or we come. So in some cases, we come because this is what we want. This is what we think is good. In some cases, we come because we know that the alternative is not going to be good. And then a third way we look at the word cometh, and that is it's a depending choice. In other words, we really believe that what this is going to give us is going to be very satisfying to me, and so I'm going to depend upon this. And these are all ways in which we could look at this idea of coming. Now, we can look at this word coming, you know, am I making this choice for this reason or for that reason? But here's where I want to get very practical in the last 10 minutes with you is I believe that there are many of you out here that when you look at these choices, you say, wow, there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of bread choices out there. If I were to take a survey of this entire room, my guess is that most of you would say, I want Jesus. I really want that life. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'm guessing that almost all of you would raise your hand, if not all of you, would say, I do want Jesus and the life that he wants to give. But I would also say that there might be a majority or might be a lot of people in the room that says, you know what, I want that, but I don't seem to choose it. I don't seem to know how to get it. I feel like I continue to say yes to myself. I continue to do this. I'm tired of it, but I keep going that direction, and I want it, but you've proven that you wanted those things over, and you struggle with that. Now, raise your hand in your mind, okay, because I want you to identify if that's you. So you know what? I wish for Jesus more, but I feel flat. I wish for Jesus more because I know it's right, but I fall flat. Pastor, please, before we're dismissed, would you please tell how can I practically choose the bread that I know that he claims will give me spiritual life, not just for salvation, but to live so that I'm really hungry for Jesus alone. Because I'm not. And this is what I want to leave you with, is this. When we look at this idea of coming, beyond the three things I gave you, there's three more things that I want you to think through. To come. To come is to choose, first of all, in word. To choose in word. Many of us think certain things, and thinking is really important. In fact, the scriptures teach us, you know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But God also tells us when we're solidifying something that the spoken word is very important. In fact, when it comes to salvation, we know that a word doesn't save us, but what does he say? He that confesseth with his mouth, right? The Lord Jesus, and believeth. There's something to saying it. Now, would you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I say? There's something to saying it. You know, when I'm going through my life and I'm thinking about doing right or thinking about making a decision, it's in my thoughts, and that's important that I'm thinking. But until I actually verbalize it, wow, there's still the opportunity and option not to do it. When we come and we choose, or when we come to Jesus, I believe it's important that we take it to a step where there's a word involved. Verbalize to the Lord, God, I need you, and I choose you. I'm going to give you three things. This is the first one. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I am looking to other bread in my life and Jesus just isn't the thing that I go to, I would encourage you, if you want it, I would encourage you to verbalize it out loud to the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm choosing you. Because when we think, it's just a hodgepodge of thoughts, because you also think some other things. We think a lot of things inside, we don't say it, but saying it takes us to another step. I would encourage you today to go home. You say, what is saying it? Well, you tell me, saying it means something more than just thinking it. And by the way, this is not a plug for invitations, folks. I believe that sometimes we have downplayed our invitations because can you do it in your seat? Yes. But there's something about stepping out, like verbalizing it, coming to the altar and saying, God, I will, and doing it. In DBS, why do we have I will statements? Because we can think a lot of things, but when we don't make a decision to do it and verbalize it, a lot of times what's the result? We don't do it. That's why it's important to step out. That's why it's important to say it. Come and talk. Go home and tell somebody else, I plan to do this. That is a step of doing right. I want to encourage you, you know, when you make decisions to do right, when you choose, take them beyond your thoughts and verbalize them. Say it. And I'm not just giving you philosophy from Sean Madrid. I'm giving you God's word, because God's word says to confess with your mouth, to say it. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Say it. Do something. Tell the Lord, Father, I don't desire you the way I want to. I go to other bread. Father, I need your help. I am choosing to choose you as my bread. Now, is that going to be everything? No, but it's the first step. You need to say it. You need to say it. That is part of this choosing. That is part of this using the word cometh. He that cometh to me, start by a verbal word. Start by saying it. Choose a word. Choose language. What about next? To choose is not just in the word, but to choose is active choice. Now, we can think anything, but we can also say something. But the second thing that I want you to understand, when he says, come to me, he wants us to verbalize, okay, Father, I'm coming to you this morning, and I am telling you that I desire you. I want to desire you more than any other bread in my life. I want to choose you. That's the first step. I am choosing you. And we know that just that isn't enough, but that is very important, first of all. We choose. The second thing is then, okay, I am coming to you. To come to him means now I am going to say no to those other things in life, and I am going to come to you. I'm going to take steps, and these steps are, you know, I can come somewhere in my mind, but I'm not necessarily there. And there might be people sitting at home and say, I went to church this morning in my mind. Does that mean that they're here? No, they're not here. They didn't come. Coming also means not just verbalizing, but it means taking steps to do it. Taking steps to make him the bread of life. What are some practical things in which we can take active steps, real literal steps, to making him become the bread of life? Choosing the word. And that means literally opening it up and reading it. That's taking a step to go to it and to take or to taste and see that the Lord is good. Are you going and choosing him? What else? What are other ways in which we're choosing, which we are coming to him actively? What do? We go to church, right? These are very basic things. We go to church. What are some more specific ways we choose? So you read something and God says this, then you're going to do it. You're going to stop yourself. You're going to say, you know, this morning I read again another verse about let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I verbalize it, say, God, today, what I'm saying with my mouth, I want it to please you. I want to be edifying. I want to be encouraging. And putting it to action is coming, you know, to church and you're about ready to pull your friend over and tell him about so-and-so. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's going like this. Say, listen, you don't need to spread rumors or to talk about somebody else. And what do you need? How am I going to obey that? I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to talk about that. And I'm going to walk away. And if you've ever done that, that's an encouraging thing. You said, you know, I actually did right. I zipped my lips and I chose not to do that. I said no to that. Or you started thinking about something you ought not think about. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, Sean, you ought not think about that. And all of a sudden you stop and you quote a verse. You see, that's putting it to action. That is making him the bread of life for you. You're saying, wait, I am going to taste. I'm going to do this. That's what it means to come. When he says, he that cometh to me shall... What he's promising you is, he said, listen, I'm promising to give you not just eternal life practically that you can go to heaven, but I want you to live this eternal life. You can have this eternal life. Jesus can be your bread, but you've got to come to him. You first of all confess it with your mouth. You verbalize it. You say, I am coming to you, Lord. I'm coming to you. Second of all, you're living it. You're going to say no. You can say all you want to that you love Jesus, but if you continue to go to other bread, you don't love Jesus. Loving Jesus and desiring Jesus is active. That means you telling yourself no and saying no to those things that you continue to go to. I am not going to do it. And it's not just saying it, but then you do it. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to walk away. There was an area in my life. Was it this last week that I'm working on something that I, you know, it's one of those things that you've, all of us have these things that we continually work on and feel like we fail in those things. And I had made a decision verbally, and there was a time when it came and I had to put it to action. And I was there and I was thinking right, but I didn't know if I was going to do it. And then I was just there with this thing for me. And of course, the Holy Spirit was working on my heart, and I chose to say no to it. And you know what? When I realized that I had done it and walked away, there was an amazing satisfaction that came over me. That if I would have done what I wanted to do, I could never feed myself enough that I would have had that closeness with the Lord. Folks, it's true. When you say no and when you actively step and do what he's told you to do, God satisfies you. He gives you that bite of himself, that bread that is lasting, that said, wow, I don't need to go to that. But see, many of us never verbalize it, and many of us never take the step to say no, and we just continue to go to that false bread. We continue to go. But see, when he says to choose me or come to me, he's saying you need to verbalize it and you need to make a decision to say no or to say yes to some things. And so second of all, you need to listen before I go to the third and we'll be done. That means those things that maybe on a day-to-day basis you get discouraged about. I keep falling and I'll never be good. I'll never do that. I'm sorry, you're going to have to come to a point, you need to confess it to the Lord, but there's going to have to come a time when you choose to say no and do it. We call it discipline. I'm going to have to say, who do I love more? He says, if you come to me, I will help you. But we have to make a choice. We have to come to him and say no. And so there's a choice in word, there's an active choice which demonstrates, and thirdly, it's a choice that depends. It depends. I am depending upon you, Lord, by partaking of you as my bread. I'm depending that you are going to satisfy me. I am trusting you that you're going to give me what I need. We as humans all need satisfaction. We hunger for satisfaction. We hunger for that. That's the way we're made. When we make a choice for whatever thing that is, we're placing our dependence and we are saying, I think that this bread is going to make me happy. I think that looking at that is going to make me happy. I think that doing this is going to make me happy. I think that participating with this and entertaining myself with this, this is going to make me happy. And that's why we do it. We are kind of depending upon that thing. Now make me happy. What do we know about the false bread that we choose? Does it make us happy? Now when I say happy, that's probably a wrong word. Does it bring us joy? Does it bring us peace? Does it bring us spiritual life? What's the answer? They never do. You can never be satisfied with the bread of this life. Never. Just like food, we always have to wake up and eat again. But when we come to Jesus, we don't need that. And there's an element of dependence that is saying, you know what? I don't need to respond this way. And I'm depending upon you, God, to give me satisfaction. That's where I am. The bread of life comes in. You've got to trust that He is. You've got to trust that He is. Do you believe Him or not? When you go to your other things, you are not believing Him. You're saying, I need to do this. And then you say, boo-hoo, I'm falling every day. I can't get victory. I don't do that. I say, well, you're depending upon other things. You're depending on that to make you happy. You've got to choose to make that He has the ability to do that. It's kind of like a couple months ago, I preached that message on trust. You remember that idea of put your trust? Remember, I just do it. Just, okay, I'm putting this here. God, I trust you. You don't feel it. You don't have anything else, but it's just a decision. Folks, we've got to do that with the things. We've got to trust. We've got to put and say, God, that's not going to make me happy. You will. I'm going to choose you. Word. We've got to do it with our words. We've got to say, okay, God, I'm going to do that. We need to make an active choice, a step to say no or to say yes. Thirdly, we've got to depend and say, I believe that this is going to be right. God, I'm trusting God that He is going to bring it out in my life. And thirdly, what's the outcome? So who He is, what we do, and the outcome. What does He say if we will put our trust? What does He say if we trust Him as the bread of life and believe on Him? What does He say? He says, He shall never hunger. You shall never thirst. I will absolutely never reject or cast out the one who comes to me, Jesus Christ says. You will not be disappointed. Nothing else will meet the need so long as I continue to come or depend completely on Him. I ask you the question this morning, now this afternoon, who are you trusting in? What are you depending upon? Who is your bread? And what's keeping you from coming? You say, Pastor, I'm flat. I just wish, come to Him. You can come to Him. It's nothing difficult. It's nothing hard. You need to come to Him. Father, I have sinned. I'm coming to You. Take the steps. I will and do it. Come to depend upon Him to satisfy You. Would you trust Him today? Father, I pray that these people would trust You. Would they place their dependence for satisfaction on You, the bread of life? God, help us. Help us to come to You, even this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.